is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
Disneyland, Disney World, Walt Disney. In the news, surprisingly, the CEO of Disney's been replaced by an old CEO, Robert Iger, Bob Iger. And I have this from CNN. The announcement of Iger's return comes at a time of great difficulty and scrutiny for Disney, says CNN, which faces challenges across its media empire. This includes a share price that has been sluggish all year, a streaming business that's growing but losing money. Iger said that when he left the company last year, Disney's streaming success was being measured by many different metrics, but the main factor was growth. That has since shifted to a focus on the bottom line and how much we are losing and when we will be profitable, Iger said. I welcome Jeff Bliss, who is a veteran of Disneyland. Disneyland as Alpine exhibit that was Yodeler Bliss, Disneyland as the train circling Disneyland, Engineer Bliss. And Jeff has lots of lore about having worked there and watched it ever since in Southern California. Jeff, July 17th, 1955. I was a younger person and you were potentially a younger person. However, we come to your experience when you worked in Disneyland and what you're reading and hearing about the unhappiness of Disney World today. Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. You know, there's always been a kind of a feel at Disneyland, at least since the 1970s, where the veterans who are there at the park would say, or even at the Imagineering the studios would say, it's not like it used to be. It's not like it was when Walt was around. And that's true because he was really a hands-on kind of guy, besides just being a visionary. But things did change radically when it became more of a corporation and less of a family operation. And that has bled over all the way up until today, where you have people complaining about the output of Disney's movie studios, its various entertainment, TV and film and online. And then people complaining about the way things have been run in the parks with the performance of the attractions. In other words, the rides, if they're breaking down a lot and how crowded things are and the expenses. So there's been a general growing feeling among shareholders, among employees and among fans that Disney was losing its specialness. It was losing what it was meant to be and what has been for many years, even during tough times. And so its brand was greatly tarnished. And that was a big part of why Chapek, the former CEO, was canned and Bob Iger was brought back on, because Iger still had that connection and that touch and is somebody that could see what was happening within the Disney family. And the hope is that he can start putting the brakes on the things that are going wrong and fix the things so they'll go right again. But he's still picking up a lot of the slack from Chapek's time when the films are not performing well, because instead of embracing a lot of the values that Disney's are always, you know, talked about, always shown, they've been very flavor of the month, flavor of the day type of values and films. So you get films like the current one about Strange Things, which is, you know, it's got some gender politics included in it and things like that. And so families are just saying, forget it. I'm not going to watch that. I'm not going to take my kids. And you have the recent long Thanksgiving weekend where, you know, that's the big money making weekend for movies. And they grossed less than $20 million, which seems unheard of for any Disney movie I've heard of or I know of. And so, you know, this is another sign that, hey, yeah, that was the bad time. And now Iger's saying, look, we're going to go back to quality over quantity, not just quantity with money, but the way we, you know, our output, what we're doing in the parks, et cetera.
They've been raising the prices. We've talked about them raising the park prices at the park, especially Disneyland, the original in Southern California. Jeff, when you worked there, was there high morale? Was there an esprit to be a member of the cast?
Definitely. And it's, there still is a, you know, I can go anywhere really in Southern California, a lot of places. And, you know, I was recently in Australia and I would tell people I worked at Disneyland and they get a big smile. What was it like? Tell me all about it. And you still get that in Southern California. And I work with a number of people elsewhere that are former Disney employees. And there's like kind of a certain, you know, not a secret password, not a secret handshake, but we have a certain bond. And that's true anywhere you go. There are online clubs and groups of what they call Disney Alumni Association. And so, yeah, it's like that once you leave. And certainly when you're in the park, It's really driven into you from day one. You go to Disney University. Before you can go out and work in the park, meet guest number one, you have to go to Disney University, pass through there, learn about all the customs and habits and the ethos, and then you go out into the park and start doing your job. So everybody starts at the same place, same ground zero, and you're inculcated with all the lore and all the history and all the expectations. And that's one of the great things, and that's really one of the things that's helped preserve and push the Disney brand.
My memory of Disney is when the children were small. There were Disney movies, especially the animated movies, that we could count on as parents. These were early days of VCR, taking a movie home and showing it on the television. And the big movie for my son and daughter, especially my daughter, was Beauty and the Beast. And the reason I was so comfortable with it is because it was a wonderful story, had great music. And she could watch it again and again as a two-year-old, as a three-year-old, as a four-year-old. And I never had to worry about the politics. Now, did that go away, Jeff? Did politics suddenly arrive in the 21st century and it wasn't there in the 20th? I don't remember any issues at all.
It most definitely reared its head these past few years. It's been, you know, like everywhere else, it feels like in our society and culture, politics, and whether it's gender politics or political, you know, Republican, Democrat, what have you, that has all pushed up. And it's a big part of, you know, life, not just at Disney, but many or most of the studios and entertainment fixtures in Hollywood. It's, you know, if you don't belong to a certain group, you're not going to work there. It's kind of like the old days, except in reverse. And those same things permeate, you know, the writing and the directing and the casting. You just see it again and again and again. And that's whether you're talking about the new Star Wars additions to the Star Wars franchise, or some of these films we've talked about with Disney that's been they've been failing with. It's all over the place in Hollywood.
We move to the politics of California, which is Disneyland's original platform. Now, I've only ever been to Disney World in Florida, and it's magical, is my memory. However, the governor of California is magical, and recently he assured us that he was not running for president if Joe Biden will run for reelection. However, Jeff, in a conversation with my colleague Selena Zito, I learned in her conversation with the recently four times now elected governor of New Hampshire, John Sununu, that Governor Sununu is counting on 12 Republicans showing up in New Hampshire looking for the votes early in 2024 and half a dozen Democrats showing up competing for the presidential nomination. Have you heard anything about Gavin Newsom waiting in the wings, Jeff, because the best way to run for president over the last 100 years is to claim you're not running for president.
And he sure is claiming that a lot. He's been saying it loud and saying it often. But what it seems to we seem to be seeing seeping into that conversation is, you know, as long as the president doesn't run again, I'm definitely not going to challenge him. And everybody thinks that, you know, he is just biding his time. But there is some talk now over this past week where they're thinking he really wants to build himself up so he's unbeatable when he runs the next time around. So it won't even be close when somebody comes to challenge him. As you pointed out, there are a lot of challengers, you know, coming out of the woodwork for Biden's job. And maybe right now he's sitting here thinking, well, I'll let them clear themselves out. But nobody believes that Gavin Newsom is going to stay away from the campaign trail for very long, because this is what he seems to have been made for, what he's planning for, and what a lot of people in his party are hoping for.
So right now, the opinion in California is nobody actually believes that he's not running for president. Is that it, Jeff? Just a few
There's
seconds.
Nobody. And I've spoken with media people and politicians and folks that, you know, work in Sacramento in the halls of the Capitol. And everybody, when you say that to them, they just kind of, you know, roll their eyes and smirk, and you hear a big kind of chortle because nobody believes it. And, you know, it wouldn't be the first time that Gavin Newsom told people one thing and then did the other.
Jeff Bliss, Yodeler Bliss, Engineer Bliss, Disneyland, July 17th, 1955. I'm John Backer.